We've been talking about truth. Everybody say truth. Everybody say the truth hurts. But the truth sets you free. Whenever you talk about truth, remember, someone will get angry. Someone will get set free. The enemy wants us to keep and hide the truth because, well, we don't want anybody upset, anybody angry. But God says, hey, we need to deliver the truth because it's only the truth that sets people free. So we've been talking about, what is truth? Pilate asked that question. What is truth? We found out that Jesus has a plethora of truth and grace. He takes truth and he mixes it also with grace. We realize that truth reveals sin, but grace removes sin. And together, they're very transforming. Last week, we talked about Jesus doesn't condemn, but he empowers and he saves. The truth enlightens the sinner, but it keeps self-righteous people sometimes in the dark because they don't want to see anything more. They think they're doing just fine. We talked about how the world is drowning and God's throwing them a life preserver. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. We condemn ourselves when we don't accept him. And we talked about we choose to turn the light on because truth illuminates the situation. Truth lightens us up, and we choose either to turn the truth on or turn the truth off in our life. You choose. Do you want it on? Do you want it off? Do you want to walk in the light, or do you want to walk in darkness? Remember, you can get all these messages at go to our app or go to livingfaithfellowship.com. You can always pick up any of our previous messages, and we pray that it will be a blessing to you. This morning, I'm going to talk about truth as our guide. Truth is our guide. And I'd like, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to go through three scriptures this morning quickly. If you wouldn't mind reading with me those particular scriptures. The first one's in John 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that you may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Then John 15, we're going to go all the way through John. John 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, our operative words again, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Our last one in 16. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not seek on his own. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to talk about the Spirit of truth. And that Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. All three of these passages from 14, 15, and 16 that talk about the Spirit of truth all happen in one discourse from Jesus. It's called by some the upper room discourse. They're in the upper room. It's Jesus' last meal. He's celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And he gives them his final instructions. These are going to be the final instructions he's going to give to the gang before he's going to die on the cross. It'll be his last words. I think sometimes when a person puts out their last words, they're summarizing everything up and they're giving you all of the choice stuff right at the very end. These are important to Jesus. They need to be important to us as well. So, given in the upper room, he talks about this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And some commentators say that 50 days later, it's this same upper room when the Spirit fell at Pentecost. Interesting. So let's unpack it. John 14, starting at verse 15. If you love me, just say so. That's enough. Right? If you love me, just say so. That's enough. Now, that's not what Jesus said. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. Well, that's awesome. But he didn't say, if you love me, just say so. Although this saying is good. Guys, we need to tell our wives we love them often. Wives, you need to tell your husbands, you probably do, often. But the words are one thing, it's the doing here, right? He says, if you love me, don't just say so, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And these words, commandments, and totally, it means injunction, an authoritative prescription, an authoritative prescription. God has a great prescription to give us for our life. When we say, oh man, oh, gee, I got a nasty sin rash. And he goes, well, take two of these and call me in the morning, is what he's going to say. Hey, take a look at some of these things here. Read the prescription and I'll do something that will heal you of that rash of sin. When we follow his commandments, follow his word, follow his desire, this brings healing to this. This heals this. It heals our heart. It heals our life. If you're suffering from a broken heart, we need this. If you're suffering from some tragedies you've done in your life, we need this. We need to know what the word of God is and do it, to follow it. It's a prescription for a good life. You want to be healthy, want a good life. He's written out many, many prescriptions. They're all in here. Read them. You'll have a healthy life if you do. If you love me, Christians, don't say it. Christians, do it. Keep my commandments. Now, he's not talking. He's not talking to the world at large. He didn't say, hey, world out there, if you love me, keep my commandments, because the world out there is breaking them as fast as they can. The world is breaking commandments because they don't know God, or they don't really love God, doesn't love Jesus. But if you do, we do, he says, then keep them. But some of them are hard to keep. Oh my gosh. I know. Do you want a healthy life? Keep them. Want a rash? Don't keep them. Oh, man, this thing is bothering me. It just bothers me. Okay, now, I got a prescription to get rid of the rash. No. We're out here loving our rash. I'm hooked. I just keep doing it. I'm going, do you understand what you're doing? You got this nasty rash, there's a great prescription, and yet we don't follow the doctor's orders. We don't follow the prescription. I want to know, why am I sick? Why do I still have this nasty rash? Isn't there a way I can get it? I have a homemade remedy. I just put tomato sauce all over me. Grape juice, vinegar. No. Apply this to your heart. Go to bed and wake up refreshed. But the world doesn't keep them. Commandments. Those who don't know God, they break them. Those who use God, they break them. They say they love him. I say I love you, but the proof is in the pudding. I say it, but do I do it? Those who love God, keep them. Those that love God, keep them. Oh, you're just a goody two-shoes. Oh, no. I'm far from a goody two-shoes. I'm just tired of scratching myself. I'm in love with this man who's changed my life, and I want to live for him. I'm tired of living for myself. I did that for 20-some years. I didn't do a very good job at it. I had so many rashes, so many problems, so many issues. I'm thankful for a prescription that healed me. My observation is this. Love said is sloppy love. It's easy but shallow, and it's fickle. Love done is devoted love. It's hard but deep, and it's lasting. It's lasting. Carrie and I, when we got married, not in this one, we got married in the altar where you guys are doing CCF at, the college students at CCF. We got married on that altar there, that platform there. And we came up there, we looked at each other and said, I love you. And she said, I love you. And I said, I love you more. And she said, okay. No, that's not true. That is not true at all. If we're talking about what's done, I can talk more, she does more. And that's really the truth. I can talk more, but she also does more and demonstrates her love. Because love said is sloppy, it's cheap. Love done is deep, it's devoted, it's amazing. I'm getting ready to, I'm leaving Monday morning, we'll be back on, I'll be back late Friday night. And every time we've gone on a trip, my wife packs my suitcase. I don't do anything. You guys that travel, wouldn't you love that? I don't do anything. I just go, I get up in the morning, see you, honey, give her a big kiss, grab the bag and go. I don't even pack my own stuff. I don't even put it in there. She does. And then it usually puts a note or something in there. And I'm saying, wow, she does it. She was up till 3:30 last night, making sure all the right clothes were washed and everything and all of that stuff, and packed my bag. I was sleeping while she was packing my bag. I got a lot of people out there going, you jerk. You jerk. Your wife is up at 3:30 slaving over you and you're sleeping. Thanks, honey. Love said is easy. Love done is costly, but it's devoted. It means something. I love going on a trip, and when I'm especially with some other guys, and go, yeah, my wife packed this. You got your wife to pack your suitcase? Oh, no, I didn't get her to. She did it for me. She wanted to. So, thank you, honey. We initiate our love by what we say, but we demonstrate our love by what we do. A lot of Christians just have initiatory love. Oh, I love him, I love him, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. But when you have to make the hard decisions of doing, we bail out instead of it. Embrace and go through. Embrace and go through. The word keep here, keep my commandments. It means to guard by keeping the eye upon, to fulfill a command or to maintain, to guard from loss or injury by keeping the eye upon, keeping the eye upon. To keep his commandments, we need to go through our life keeping our eyes on them. To keep them, we have to keep our eyes on them. We need to be living our lives like this. Hi, how are you today? It's good to see you. Good to see you. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Next, for by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves, not of yourself. No. Now, I'm not trying to say we're supposed to go out and repeat all of the Bible verses, all right? That's not the issue. The issue, though, is do you have this in front of you as you're living your life? Hey, Rory. Rory's here! Come in, man. It's good to see you.
I left my wallet at your house. I figured I'd come pick it up after a year and a half.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's right. We took all the money out, so don't worry. The idea is not that we're repeating Bible verses, but to keep this means it's in front of us. It's in front of us. And when you're looking at, hey, should I do this which is truthful or that which is deceptive, this which is good and that which isn't so good, but I got an inkling to do this, I probably shouldn't do that. You know, sometimes I wish in my life, every time I saw evil, I went, oh, no, thou shalt not. And, oh, no. And I see good, and, yes, that's all I want. I'm not always like that. Maybe you are. Sometimes what keeps me from doing something that I got an inclination somehow to do is all of a sudden, this pops up. Ooh. I kind of want to just, I need to turn and go the other way. Also, a lot of your faces pop up too. I go, I want to It's crazy because if you guys were all with me and we were somewhere, we would all walk differently, wouldn't we? If the whole church went wherever you went and you were deciding whether you're going to or not, we would become saints, all of us. Well, we can't take everybody with us, but the Word of God that's hidden in our heart, we can take. So when we come to a position or a situation, we can go, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to follow the truth of God's Word. I'm going to follow His truth. So to keep them means to keep an eye on them. Keep these in front of us. Allow us to help us make some decisions to not do some stuff and to do the stuff that we should do. Next scripture here in John, or continuing on the scripture. Those who keep His commandments, I will pray, Jesus says. He will pray for us. He'll pray the Father. And He will give you another helper. Another helper. Why another helper? Remember, Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's going to be leaving, but He's not going to leave them homeless or orphans. He's going to leave the Holy Spirit with them. I'm going to go away. But 50 days later, I'm going to send to you this Holy Spirit who will be with you always. He will live inside of you. We'll talk about that in a moment. Another helper. I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave somebody with you, someone who will help you. That word helper is the paraclete. Paraclete, an intercessor, a counselor. It's also translated an advocate or a comforter. Paraclete. When we talked about this before, I talked about a paraclete. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is like a paraclete. He gives you traction in life. He allows you to run hard for truth. Slide away and stop and get away from sin. He gives you some great cleats so you can maneuver around in this life with some traction rather than slip sliding away. He wants us to have traction. The paraclete, this comforter, this advocate, this counselor, this intercessor. God gives us help. He never said, hey, here it all is. Here's what you're supposed to do. Hey, come here. Here it is. Keep it. He didn't just throw some laws at us. He said, oh, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Hello, I'm the Holy Spirit. And what He's going to do, He's going to live inside of you.
Just a sec. Yeah, there we go.
He's going to get in there. And wherever we go, everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit's with you.
All right.
Man, did you gain weight? You're heavy.
No. Yes, I
will. The Holy Spirit's with you. And so everywhere you go, instead of just giving you a set of laws and this commandment, He decided to live inside of you. Hallelujah. He's living in you. He's not just throwing a word to you and saying, word, do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Yes, you're going to do it. He's with you. He's here.
Have you lost weight?
Oh, yes, I have. Here, put your arms around your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Tell her how nice she is.
You're so nice.
You're wonderful.
You're wonderful.
You're the best mother-in-law I've ever had.
The best mother-in-law I've ever had. By far.
The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He didn't just say, boom, do it. He said, do it, and I'm going to live inside of you, and I'm going to be your helper. Say, hi, helper.
Hi, helper.
Yeah. I'm a handy helper for you. The problem is, a lot of us don't want to help. Now, let me tell you what. Why would you not want the help from the most wisest, biggest, greatest, most powerful, anything? Why wouldn't you want that person's help? If you were taking calculus and you were taking a calculus test and the teacher said, you can bring anybody in here to help on taking the test you would like, would you go, I don't want any help? I'm going to take this myself. Or how about ordinary differential equations? How about not them? And he's asking you questions. Or physics or some crazy thing. And you're going, oh, yeah, you can take the test. You can take it with someone. You can bring a helper in. Oh, no, I don't want a helper. I want to do it myself. Nobody here would do that. We bring in a helper. How many of you ever watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? They got the little person who comes, you know, a person back, a helper, in case you get stuck on a question. Who would go, I've decided not to have a helper. Who's back there helping you? No one. I'll do it myself. Everybody wants a helper. Unless that helper wants to try to keep you out of trouble and you want to go into trouble. Then we don't like the helper as much. Quit helping me. Thank you. Okay, great, thanks. Hear what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit, this Spirit of truth, the truth. We need a helper. I was over at James Larson. I was picking up a washer and dryer. He said, hey, I don't like to use Craigslist, so do you want to just take this washer and dryer? I go, for free? And he goes, yeah. And I go, yes. So I went over there to get him. He had just gone to get to take Sam, his daughter, or pick her up, I think, from somewhere. And so I was there, and the garage door was open, and there was the washer and dryer, and nobody else was here. And I'm here, and I have this little forklift truck. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to get the dryer, pull it over the truck. Got it, and then I have it sitting there. Then I got up on top of the truck, then tried to get it to balance, you know, properly. And then I finally got it to balance a little bit. Then I started, oh, I'm just going to pull it up. I'll just pull it up. Well, the wheels go way back, and they got caught behind the tailgate. And I'm going, hallelujah. And now the dryer starts wobbling. I'm pushing so hard, it goes, I just about dumped and busted up the whole dryer trying to do it myself. I put it back down, talked to the other kids. They came out. They were great. Talked to Ben. Talked to Kamala. And then James shows up, and we just go, put one in, put the other one in. I thought, wow, that was easy. We all need help. But sometimes we're so stubborn, we just want to do it ourselves because of pride and because we don't want no one to know what we're doing. God gave you a helper, that he may abide, it says, that he may abide. That word is meno. It means to stay with you forever. That's a long time. I'm in that coat, on that lap, in that man forever. And don't you forget it. Just kidding. But it goes on to say this. He'll stay with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. He's describing now who he is, this Holy Spirit. He has many functions. He's the empower. He's the enabler. He fills us up at baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's this baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's this power. There's this all of these things that he does. Another thing, another function is he's the Spirit of Truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. He guides us into truth. Another scripture is going to say. And it says here, whom the world cannot receive. Say it with me. Whom the world cannot receive. Whew. Big point. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. But he's saying the world can't receive him. Doesn't want to do truth. They have their own truth, their own perspective, their own reality. Well, here's what I've always thought. Here's what I want. We as Christians sometimes do that as well. Why can't they receive him? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. They can't see God. Oh, show me God and I'll believe in him. You got to take it by faith. They walk by sight. I can't see him, therefore I'm not going to believe in him. As Christians, I can't see him, but he's more sure to me than anything else that I can see. Because I know what he's done when he's been in me. Because he's changed me. The world can't receive him. Can't see him. Doesn't know him. Because the world's dark. Because of the effects of the enemy trying to darken everything out there. The world prefers to believe lies rather than the Spirit of Truth. So it rejects truth to believe its own perceived truth, which, as we talked about before, isn't truth. It's per their perception. God's truth is the only true truth. It seems like it's redundant. the only true truth that there is. He goes on to say, but you know him. But you, they don't know him. They can't see him. They don't know him. But you know him. For he dwells with you. And he will be in you. Just as I talked about. He's in you. This Holy Spirit. Therefore, you have a conviction. You kind of feeling I probably shouldn't do that. He's in you. The Spirit of truth. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The word orphans here means to be parentless. Another translation is comfortless. They're comfortless. He gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us. They're comfortless because they see all sorts of trouble. God doesn't want us walking, feeling like we're always in trouble. He wants us to walk with a calmness, a peace that passes all understanding. The next scripture in John 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, he's coming from heaven. This Spirit of truth, here's that Spirit of truth again, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The Spirit of truth is going to talk about Jesus. He's going to talk about the things that Christ has done. He's going to talk about the Word of God. He's going to bring and illuminate this to our minds and to our hearts. He will testify of me. He'll tell us about the truth. And you also will bear witness. We're also supposed to testify to the truth. You Christians, always yakking your mouths. Why don't you just shut up and just let it be? Let it be. Let it. Because we're supposed to stand up and talk about truth. Not arrogantly. But stand up and say the truth with love. John 16. We'll bring it home with these thoughts here. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will, say it with me, guide you into all truth. He will guide you. He will guide you. Truth is to be your guide. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he's your guide. He's your guide. Many people don't want the Holy Spirit. I'm going, why not? He's your guide. How are you going to get there without the Holy Spirit? Oh, I'll figure it out myself. I'll just do that. My observation here, the Holy Spirit's job is to guide you into the truth. To help you differentiate between truth and lies. It's important for Jesus to give you this decoder of truth. The decoder of truth lives inside of us. And it's available to help us decoding truth and lies 24/7. The Holy Spirit is also the lie detector. He's in your life as the lie detector. You seen the lie detectors? I got my eyes on you. The lie detector. The little knob that moves, and all of a sudden, if you tell a lie, the Holy Spirit's job in your life is you're walking along doing stuff. He's going, oh, yeah, everything's good, everything's good. And you're going, hey, I'm thinking about, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Okay, I'm seeing how this works. I get going and thinking of the situation. All of a sudden, something starts beating and pounding on my heart. Probably not a good idea to go. But I want to. All my friends are. We're going to walk in truth or lies. He gave you a lie detector. A truth discoverer who tells you when you're, yeah, you're in the truth. Nope. That's not good. That's why you're sweating. That's why your heart rate's going up. That's why you have this sense of conviction. No, don't go there. But I've always gone, and it's never, you know, just for a moment, it always pans out, right? At the end, I just come back and go, hey, I'm back on track again. If you love me, keep my commandments. He's a guide. The word guide means to show the way. To show the way. It also means the road itself. And he's our guide to show us the road, the path that we're supposed to be on. We're all following someone. Are we following the truth? Are we following our guide? I don't know anybody here who would make a climb up Mount Everest without a guide. Hey, I was just in the neighborhood. I was thinking about putting the boots on and going up the hill. Would that be okay? I'm not going to make it. I don't know anybody. By the way, Mount Everest, tallest mountain in the world, 29,335 feet in elevation. The winds can blow 200 miles per hour up there. Temperatures from minus 80 to 100 degrees, from minus 80 to 100 degrees, discovered by the British survey team led by none other than Sir George Everest in 1841. The first attempt to climb it was 1921. Many people died until the first successful attempt in 1953. Some 30 years later, many people died. There have been 4,042 climbers who've summited it at least once, another 2,800 who've done it more than once. The youngest person, 13 years of age, to climb Mount Everest. Whoa. The oldest, 80. 80 years old. It takes 40 days to climb it. 40 days from the start to get to the top, minimum 40. You don't just whoom. You got to get acclimated at each level. 40 days. You'll burn over 10,000 calories a day climbing and 20,000 when you make the final ascent, that last little bit. And they lose about 20 pounds in the making the climb. 250 people have died trying to climb it. Now, when you think about climbing it, I don't think you're going to go, hey, we're driving along around here, around Nepal, and there was a guy going, we'll guide to Mount Everest for food. Hey, he doesn't charge anything. Let's pick him up. Hey, have you ever been there? No, but I know where it is. Just, it's right up there. It's right there. See it? Pretty simple. We just draw a line when we get there. Oh, okay. Have you ever heard this race? Distance between two points is a straight line. That's how I like to go. That's how I like to rumble. That's how I like to fly. I don't think anybody would pick a person who wants to have you guide you up Mount Everest if you're willing to feed him. It's very expensive. You need those Sherpas and people helping and a whole team of people need help to get up there. A lot of folks have to be involved. You're not going to pick a dumb guide, a cheap guide. You're going to want to go, who's an experienced guide? Who's been there before? We've got a journey through life here. And our destiny is heaven. And there's a spirit, the spirit of the living God, who's knows all, done all, been all, who's inside of us, who's been there, who can show you the walk if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. But there's another person. The person behind will guide for food that's really cheap. He will misguide you. He will misguide you. Misguided. And ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you today that there are so many people who are misguided from truth. They believe what they believe with all of their heart, with all of their soul and everything, because there's a shady character, and they don't see the shady character, but it's the devil who misguides us. They're misguided. They're misguided. Many good people are misguided. Many good people are misguided. And my heart is this, is to not get in an argument with misguided people. But if they're misguided, who's going to tell them that the guide they're following is false? Who's going to tell them that what they're banking on and putting their money into and what they're believing in will not guide them to truth? Someone has to stand up and take a risk. Someone has to love them enough to say, I don't think that's exactly correct. I don't think that's exactly what God wants. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. I want to end with this last scripture. and say a couple of last points. In Galatians 3, it says this, O foolish Galatians. O foolish Galatians. O unintelligent, sensual is what the word foolish here means. O foolish Galatians. Let me say it this way. O foolish Americans. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Someone is. Someone is misguiding. Someone is bewitching. The word bewitched here is to malign, to speak evil of. It means to fascinate by false representations. To fascinate by false representation. We are fascinated by things and ideologies out there. We're fascinated by them. But they're not true. Look, we're wild with lies. We're told that the truth is evil and that the lie is good. Now our courts tell us by voting what's right and wrong. God never voted. He declared right and wrong. He declared it. And then he says, you started off in the spirit. Are you going to now be made perfect in the flesh? You started with the spirit of truth. Are you not going to finish without it? Do you have veracity? Do you have veracity? Church, do we have veracity? Veracity means habitual observance of truth. Veracity, habitual observance of truth. Is that who we are? Do we have habitual observance of truth? Is that who we are? Do we cave in at the first sign of anything? Or do we take a stand, a loving stand, a caring stand? Because we love people. We love the world just like Jesus does. But how will the world ever change? Nobody ever says anything. Hey, your emperor's clothes, they're not really what they're cut out to be. Who's going to say it? I think the lie we have today is tolerance. We're supposed to tolerate everything. But tolerance does not equal truth. Tolerance does not equal grace. Tolerance is, it's all good. It's not all good. It's not all good. That's not good. That's not good. Well, you should just tolerate us. I'm not just going to hear tolerate. I'm going to stand up lovingly, respectfully, honorably, because I love you. And try to somehow think, pray, fast. How do I communicate truth to you that it's misguided? Because I love you and I care about you. But to say nothing, to be tolerant, is to wish you a death sentence. Instead, I want to do something. I want to pray. I want to fast. I want to search the scriptures. I want to try to move into your life so lovingly, so caringly, to say some things that may ring true if you allow them. Truth. It hurts. It sets us free. When I was faced with the ugliness of my life, the truth of that story, I didn't feel good. I was mad. But embracing truth set me free. Now I got a lot more growing to do. I'm not there by a long shot. But I'm glad someone told me the truth. Grace gives us a boost up to meet the standard of truth. Tolerance says, who cares about the standard? There's lots of them. And don't impose your standard on me. My last thought is this. I don't think anyone should impose their own standard on anyone else. But we are to impose God's standard. Not arrogantly, but with love. Love. I want to win people who are misguided. I want to change people who are misguided. I want to love people who are misguided. I don't want to shun them, hate them, tell them. I want to love them and give them truth. Lord, help us. Help me, Lord, to embrace the truth in the areas that you're working in my life. Help us all to embrace truth, the Spirit of truth. Come into us, Holy Spirit. Put veracity back in America again, that we might stand for something, for truth, Lord, even when it's hard. And let us do it in such a loving and compelling and drawing and motivating and encouraging way that will cause people to listen to truth. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the truth that you give us. Help me in the areas where I'm not walking in the truth. Lighten me up, Lord. And help me to stand for the truth that you proclaim, that I might honor you by keeping your commandments, by standing in your truth. We thank you, Lord. Help us, help us, help us, Lord. Let truth prevail. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Afterwards, if you don't know the Lord, I want you to come right up here. We'll pray for you to receive Christ. If you're having trouble walking in truth, come on up here. We'll pray with you. I have trouble from time to time. I need a helper. I need the Holy Spirit. I need other people involved in my life. We need others. Get them. Surround yourself with them. For those in Carpenter series, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, who want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there'll be a place for you right up here. Come on right up here right after I dismiss. You're welcome to come. I think we have about 70-some folks involved in the Carpenter series. I'm so excited about that. So blessed by people so eager for truth, so eager to hear and allow the Holy Spirit to move on their life. So come here if that's you. And let's go out. Let's live the truth, love the truth, and share the truth with that same love. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.